station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to the show, folks. We're back.
We're back.
It's Monday, July 15th, right smack dab in the middle of July. And we're back here.
Yes, we
Good
are.
Good morning, Mia. Welcome.
Good
welcome
morning.
Back.
Thank you.
You're all colorful this morning. I love this dress, man. It's just like, it's so bright, you know.
Thank
it's
you.
Like you can't possibly feel down when you look at it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, no, it's so, it's just so comfortable.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
I know. It's been getting very hot, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were you here when it was raining last week?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
You were gone. Yeah,
I think they said it was Wednesday or Thursday. It was actually so humid here that it rained for a couple of days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
humid
in
here?
The heat. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, surprisingly, Chicago wasn't that humid most of the time. Usually it's crazy humid. But
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, in the summertime. Oh,
yeah.
Man, it's unbearable.
So you can't stand it, huh?
I remember. It wasn't so bad this time.
Yeah. I remember going to Wisconsin a few years ago to a wedding, and it was also in July.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember getting ready and everything, and there was no air conditioning, of course, because it's up north. And then it was getting so hot, you know, I was putting on a suit and everything. And all I can remember is me running out of the house in my suit going, give me some air, man. You know, it was like, so I remember that distinctly now.
Yeah. Yeah, and it gets pretty hot.
So that's how it gets, huh?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, wow. I was in Wisconsin Friday and Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, what's there?
My grandmother, she lives in Williams Bay on Lake Geneva.
Oh, I see.
So,
and that's
yeah.
not too far from Chicago?
No, it's about an hour and 15-minute drive.
That's not
from
bad.
Us. Yeah, no, it's not that bad at all. Mm. But we have a boat. So.
So you took the boat there?
No. We drive there and then we okay. take the boat. It's a man-made lake.
Right.
But it's really really good clean water. It's a really great lake.
Is it yeah. a large lake?
It's fairly big. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
It's interesting that
big.
It's man-made because what is it? I think Minnesota is like the land of 10,000 lakes or something.
Yeah.
You'd think there'd be a lot of natural lakes there, right?
Yeah, you would think.
In the Midwest.
It's
you know?
Funny because that's actually where the Lakers are originally from.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah.
Is
like,
that why they call
think,
that?
Like, why do they call them the L.A. Lakers? It's like, well, because first of all, they're not from L.A. They moved here.
Wow.
Anyways, I'm not a Laker fan. I'm a Clippers fan. But
yeah.
just thought I'd, you know, give my 2 cents in little sports
that's,
trivia
yeah,
for
Yeah, that's a good trivia. I never knew that. I'm like,
yeah
why are they called the Lakers?
Yeah, because they're from the land of all the lakes,
all the lakes.
Basically. And yeah, that's where they got that name from.
Well, thanks for that bit of trivia. You see,
yeah,
today
you're
I'm
welcome.
A little smarter this morning.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Wow. So you went boating. What was it, like a speedboat or something that you took?
Yeah, well, now we have a wakeboarding boat. Our first boat, see, I've been on a boat since I was probably a month old.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because every weekend in the summer, we would spend up there on the boat. We had a Chris Craft, which was beautiful. It was that was a ski boat. And then, we sold that one and got the Centurion, the Enzo. So it's like super fast and
really?
Really fun. Yeah, but it has a tower on it because my brother wanted to start wakeboarding.
Yeah.
So if you pull straight behind the boat, you can't really get air. So if you have that tower, then it's a little bit higher. So you can, you know, do jumps
see,
and
okay.
fancy tricks. So
yeah. And he does those tricks, huh?
Yeah, he used to. He doesn't really, you know, do it quite as much anymore because he's not, you know, he's not up there quite as often, but yeah, I made sure to get my boating time in, and you know, and of course I drove. I love taking the wheel.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow. Do you water ski at all?
I used to. Actually, I used to be able to get up on two skis, and then I'd like drop one and try to, you know, balance on one ski. I can never get up on a slalom, which, for those of you who don't know, a slalom is just one ski. You know, actually getting up on one ski, it's just really, really hard to do. My brother dad can do it.
Really?
But, yeah.
So it's harder to go on one, because some people are saying, no, it's harder on two because you got to control 2 feet and all that stuff.
I personally think it's harder to get up on one.
To get on one.
Oh, yeah. At least for me, it's easier for me to get up on two and drop one. But, yeah, it's fun.
It's amazing, you know, how you can actually float on the water when you go fast, you know. And I was thinking about that, and it's just like the same principle as an airplane, you know. When you have a lot of speed, then you can actually get some, you know, some drag, and then you don't sink, you know. Once you stop.
I've seen people do it barefoot, too. Like, my aunt used to do that. She'd be able to ski barefoot. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, how? That just, that seems so crazy to me.
I know. But it's really weird. I love boats, you know. I mean, I don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
And, yeah, especially speed boats. I remember once when we were in Miami with my family when I was really young, and we took a boat in the canals there and everything, you know, and they tell you don't get too close to the banks, to the river banks and stuff.
Right.
And I guess, you know, being the smart kid that I am, I got a little too close.
Oh, boy.
And suddenly it's like the whole fucking motor is like, bam, 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 and I'm like, oh, fuck. My dad is like extremely pissed at me.
Oh,
everybody's looking at me like, we're going to miss a fucking flight.
Oh, my God.
So I felt like shit about it. And ever since, you know, I'm like really careful on boats now, you know.
Yeah. We're also actually also on a boat for the 4th of July.
Oh, really?
In Marina Del Rey. Yeah, a friend of mine had a boat. And, you know, so Nikki, you know, my roommate and I, we went and, you know, a bunch of other people. It was a nice 50-foot Bayliner, like super nice
boat.
That's
pretty big.
Yeah, it was a pretty decent size. And, like, here I am, like, telling him how to drive it and being all technical. I'm like, did you turn the blower on before you started the boat? He's like, what's a blower? I'm like, are you kidding me? And so the engine doesn't blow up. You have to turn it on, you know, at least a few minutes before you start the boat, you know, and then, you know, we, you know, dropped anchor and, you know, in the middle of the ocean, we're floating around. It's like, okay, this is cool. All right, let's go. And goes to start the boat, doesn't start.
Yeah.
So I'm all up in the, you know, engine being all technical, like, you got to do this, you got to do that. People are like, how do you know so much about boats and engines? Like, who are you? I'm like, are you kidding me? Well, I, like, grew up on this stuff. Come on. So it was kind of fun. I got to save the day. Yeah.
Really?
The 4th of July. Yeah, the
good
boat started and everything was all good.
So the guy didn't know how to drive his own boat? Is that what it is?
No, I mean, he did. They're just little, you know, other little tricks and stuff that I've just always no, and just to me, it's common sense because I, you know, I grew up with it, but it was just, it was kind of funny. So I was driving that boat too, and you know,
Well,
I love it. That's fun stuff.
So that's a big boat. You can't really ski with that, can you?
Yeah, no. I mean, you can, but I don't know how, you know.
Probably doesn't go fast enough.
You're really gonna
get. and you need to be able to maneuver quickly, you know, and 50-foot boat, there's no way it's going to maneuver like a speedboat.
Oh, yeah, no. See, that's the whole fun part about it, like with tubing, because you got the wake.
Right.
And then if you go real fast and whip it around, then you can get yourself out of the wake and then try to come back in. It's really hard, but it's, it's super fun. We used to pull, like, 3 tubes, and all of us would be trying to, like, knock each other off.
Wow.
Yeah, we were crazy kids.
Wow. So how many people can fit on that boat?
Which one?
The big one that you went
The big one? I don't know. I want to say that there were about, let's see, like maybe 8 to 10
So that's not too
on
many.
There. I mean, it wasn't, you know, we didn't want it to be too crowded. We just had a very I mean, we could probably, it could probably fit, you know, maybe
a lot
maybe
of people.
More than
like
10
you can
people,
have a big party there.
Because it also has like one of those little like downstairs rooms, you know, like a bathroom and everything. So that most of that, the rest of that is just a sun deck.
Right.
So everything behind there is like just, you know, the captain's chair and then the wraparound seating.
Yeah.
All that. So
did they let you pilot the boat at all?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh for sure. Oh yeah. I drove that boat.
Did
too.
You?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was so fun. Everyone's like, how do you know this? What? Like, who are you? We never knew this about you.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Funny, I wasn't. But... Actually, I wasn't here on the 4th of July. I was in Israel.
Yes.
And,
tell us all about that. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Well, it's not like one story, you know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened. I need to be able to remember everything and stuff. But it was. It was fun. You know, the flights are way too long to get there, you know. And usually it's about 14 hours to get there straight. But I had a stop in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So the total flight over there was probably about 17 hours or something, you know.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's just too much, you know. And so what I do is I really try to sleep throughout, you know. So even so, and it's hard to obviously sleep on the plane. You know, a lot of people can't do it.
Yeah.
And so what I do is, you know, well, you try to take something like a pill or something, but I decided I'm not going to do any of that. You know, I'll just try to sleep on my own. So I found myself, even when I wasn't like really sleeping, I still had my eyes closed, and it makes the time go by.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before you know it, you've been asleep 10, 12 hours. I'm like, wow, you know, I don't have that much to deal with.
Right. Yeah.
So, but, you know, I've got to say this about flights. You know, little kids, they can really disrupt the flight.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I remember we discussed it some time ago on the show when this was in the news, but they were proposing to do like a family section on the plane where mm-hmm. families can sit with their kids, you know, and then it's sort of like, you sort of like isolate them from the rest of the plane, which
oh.
I think is an ingenious idea. I don't know why anybody's
not doing it. Yeah, I
think
so too.
It.
I mean, if I was traveling and I had, you know, like a, you know, a husband and kids with me, yeah, I would definitely want my own section, especially because, like, I feel like if there are other kids, it will keep them occupied. They could
it
play.
It probably would. Plus, let them all scream in the same place so not the whole plane gets disrupted. You know? I mean, I'm flying for so many hours, I don't need to listen to a kid cry.
Right. But
know?
I tell you what, I mean, I must say, I got really lucky on my plane ride back here to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting next to, there's this dad, he dropped off his two daughters. So mm-hmm. I was sitting next to these two girls, they're probably about 10 and 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I promised I would give them a shout out on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
So Leah and Samantha, yes. And let me tell you, they were so like mature and grown up, and they were traveling uh-huh. by themselves, and they were just so adorable. They were such a pleasure to sit next to.
Wow.
Like, they were not being annoying at all or anything. I mean, they were just playing their games and, you know, showing me their, you know, their books and their games and all their toys. And it was just, it was such a pleasant flight. Like,
wow.
I really enjoyed it. I'm like,
so
wow.
They were just by themselves, huh? Without the parents?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they were, you know, just so, so mature.
How old were they now?
10 and 7.
Wow.
And yeah, they were so well behaved. And they both looked out for each other and their safety and made sure that they had their seatbelts on. And it was just, yeah, it was amazing.
Wow.
On the
that's
other
young,
end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you get really lucky. I got really lucky.
Yeah.
They were great girls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, I don't know that I'd put my kids on a plane like that. But I guess then again, they're watched over the whole time,
there's
right?
Actually, there is a program.
Mm.
And they have, you know, special, like, trained, you know, people to escort them to, you know.
Oh, okay.
Because they actually, you know, they had their dad, like, on the plane dropping them off.
Right.
So he was, like, with them all the way, you know,
so
on the plane.
There's always somebody watching them.
Right, yeah. And then to get off, then they have, you know, flight attendants to... you know, take care of them the rest of the way. So, it's a whole program that they have. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, at that age, I guess they behave, you know. But when you have a baby, like I don't get people that have, like, a two-week-old baby and they take it on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, give
I mean,
me
I was
a break,
traveling at about 3 weeks old.
Yeah.
And apparently, yeah, my parents said I was great to travel with. I never cried. Same thing with my brother.
There you go. That's good.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, I feel like you never get that though. The baby's like, there was a baby sitting behind me. It was on the parents' lap, and the whole time it was kicking my chair on the way there. And I'm like,
man.
Oh my gosh, like, this is driving me nuts. I kept like turning around because I don't want to be rude or say anything.
Right.
But,
you've got to.
Excuse
you've got
me,
to say
like,
something, you know.
This is, you know, I'm
and sometimes and sometimes the parent will look at you like, what the hell do you want from me, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's a problem, you know, but
did you have a lot of screaming kids on your flight?
There were some on one of the flights, you know, or a couple of the flights. But Yeah, I mean, the hell with it. You know, I just try to sleep, like I said. I'm in another world, and, you know, before you know it, the flight's over. Because otherwise, I don't know how I would deal with such a long flight, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how much can you read? How many movies can you watch? You know, how much music can you listen to before you're just like, oh, get me out of here, you know. And sometimes I get, like, a feeling of claustrophobia, you know, because, I mean, you're in 30,000 feet, and, you know, I can't get out of here if I wanted to, you know.
And
turbulence never fails to scare the shit out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
I love turbulence. I love it. I was so excited, actually, on the plane ride going there. People were screaming, and I was, like, smiling.
You're like on a roller coaster.
Yes, it was. Oh my gosh! In fact, I even posted a photo of me after the plane landed on Instagram.
You did.
And I said something like, "Oh, I love turbulence." Everyone was screaming while I was smiling. Hashtag creepy. Like, oh yeah, wow. I was like all about it. Well, I guess it was like a crazy like thunderstorm or something as we were trying to come in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I got a kick out of it. I enjoyed it. Everyone around me is like literally screaming.
Until you hit like a big one where there's injuries and then you'll see, you know.
Right, yeah, obviously. Yeah. No, I don't want us to crash. But as long as I know I can have like my cake and eat it too, you know, have my turbulence and land safely, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, that's true. You know, because, I mean, most, I think it's rare for a plane to crash from turbulence and stuff, but people can get injured. You know, I mean, it can drop quite a bit at one time, and when you have such a big plane and everything and so many people, it can get pretty scary. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so it's irrational to be scared of it, but still at the same time you feel like, what the hell is gonna happen now?
And I like that feeling, though. Yeah, my brother and I ended up going to Six Flags, too. Uh-huh. So I got real coaster.
Really?
Roller coaster.
So which Six Flags is that? Is that like
Great America.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say.
And I guess the one here is called Magic Mountain, which is awesome. I actually personally think the one here is better than the one back home.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. Same thing with my brother. He agrees. Because we used to go to the one here all the time, too, when
he lived
here. So we got, like, the season passes. So it's, like, it's totally our thing. It's great.
So did they have any new ones there? Any new roller coasters?
No, that's the thing. Like, their biggest, craziest one is still the same crazy one that was big when I was going there. Like, that was, like, the new one. It was called Raging Bull.
Uh-huh.
And it was supposed to be, like, really fast with the biggest drop, and there's ones that are faster with bigger drops at the one here. So I'm like, oh, all right. It was so fun just, you know, hanging out with my brother.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Bonding.
So you get a chance to bond and everything, you know.
Yeah,
that's
speaking
pretty
of
cool.
Which, you got some bonding time with your son.
I did, and my parents and stuff. Well, the thing is this, is that he went on a trip called, it's a program called Birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And they give like free trips to Jewish kids who are like interested in visiting Israel and stuff.
Right.
So that's what he got. You know, he won a place on the trip and everything. So he went for about, was it 10 days or 2 weeks? I think 10 days, a 10-day trip. And they took him everywhere. But you can imagine now, the weather's a lot like here, but more humid and a little hotter sometimes. So, but it is beach weather for the most part, you know, so it's nice. But at the same time, you know, they took him to some really hot places. Like, when you go to the Dead Sea, that's the lowest point on the planet. I don't know if you knew that. It's like a fault, an earthquake fault from like thousands of years ago, millions of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the lowest point on the planet, and which makes it really hot down there. And the water there in the sea, the reason they call it the Dead Sea is because no living thing can live there because there's so many minerals and salt and shit like that that nothing lives there. And consequently, I guess the water is considered pretty healthy and stuff, you know.
It can
cure a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And then people put that mud on themselves. I don't know if you've seen that and everything. So.
Well, I know. I have, like, bath salts that say they're from the Dead Sea. Oh, yeah. It makes my skin super soft. So.
And you can float. You can actually float on that water. It's so heavy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty fun. And then there's... So So the point is that they had to deal with, like, extreme heat, you know, walking out in the sun all day and stuff, where I was just, like, enjoying, you know, the shade and, you know. So, but, so he had a great time, you know. I mean, you go, you can imagine, you know, a bunch of, like, 19, 20-year-olds going on a trip together and stuff away.
Mm-hmm. So did he know other people in his group?
Yeah, he knew a couple of people, a couple of friends and stuff. But obviously, you make most of your friends on the trip. And so there was, like, a lot of hanky-panky going on and stuff like that. So, they had fun. You know, they were all over the place. But all he could think about is girls all the time, you know. And I told him, I said, you know, you're on a trip here, enjoy the scenery a little bit, but he's just preoccupied, you know. So I don't know how much he actually enjoyed his trip with the group, you know, but he had fun, you know. They were eating the same shit all the time, you know, everywhere you go, because that's what people do. They eat like falafel and shawarma and things like that. You
I
know?
Love so, falafel and shawarma.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Good
you know?
Food.
I know, and especially there, you know, they really make it good there everywhere you go. So, yeah, I was eating a lot of that too, you know, but then, you know, you get mom's cooking and stuff like that, so it's really cool. And then you go to some restaurants and that with the family, so... So that was cool. And then one day we went to Jaffa, which is an old town right next to Tel Aviv, which is the major city and stuff. Now, Tel Aviv is like, it's become like such a party town that, you know, it used to be like older people. Now it's mostly young people there partying all the time.
Oh,
so it's really different here. Like, where here people go out like at 8, 9 o'clock, there they just go out at midnight. You know, that's when the evening starts. And so my son wanted to go, obviously, to go out and stuff. And he wasn't driving. And I was staying outside of Tel Aviv. So it was about a half-hour drive. So this kid, like, wants to go. It's like I barely see him, and then he already wants to go to this club, right? Because all his friends are going to this club. So I drive him down there, an hour of round trip, and I told him, I said, there's no way I'm coming back at 4 o'clock in the morning to pick you up, so take a cab, you know. And I told him it should cost you like 100 shekel, 120, whatever, and which is about 30 bucks. So I said, don't pay him anymore. And so sure enough, you know, and I was worried about him, you know, getting home in time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So apparently he had a lot of fun at the party, and then he calls for a cab. They tell him 250, and, you know, instead of like 100, so he says, fuck you, and he moves on, you know. And so finally he gets a cab, and then he brings him home, and then once he drops him off at 4:30 in the morning, then he tells him, oh, no, it's actually more money, you know, it's 150. Yeah, so my son was really pissed, and he started arguing with him, but the guy gave him the change, and he didn't give him as much as he should have. So, but what are you going to do? You know, you're a tourist, and they take advantage of tourists, obviously.
Yeah, they do.
You know, they think you don't understand what the hell you're doing. And so that happens there, you know, and it really irritates me, you know, which brings me to the drivers. And driving there is murder, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, here people drive. People don't believe me when I tell them L.A. is one of the nicest places to drive. Because although you have a lot of traffic, but, you know, people stay in their lanes. They're, for the most part, I think people are courteous here, you know, and it's all relative. Some people are saying no. But at the same time, I haven't seen a place where people are, like, calmer when they drive, you know. Yes, we have, like road rage here for some people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I get on the lane here, nobody bothers me. Over there, it's constant, like, assault on you from everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every time I leave the house, it's like you're going out to war or something, you know.
Oh, gee.
It's like you feel everybody wants to kill you. And I'm like, why is this happening, you know? Why are people driving like this?
Wow, it's that bad, huh?
It's pretty bad, you know, it's pretty bad.
Man.
And, you know, I mean, I don't want to badmouth the people, because people there are amazing, warm, friendly, when you know them. When you don't, it's a whole different ballgame.
Oh.
When you're, like, at the store or, like, you're on the street or something, not everybody's nice. Huh. Not everybody's nice. And sometimes you feel like you're invisible. You know, there's no, you know how we have like personal space here, you know, where if somebody gets too close to you, you feel invaded.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing, you know. People constantly rub against you and bump against you and shit like that.
Aww.
You go to the supermarket, there's nowhere to go, you know. I mean, everybody's like bumping carts against each other and,
oh, wow,
and shit like that. And I'm going, how can people live like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then
so aggressive.
Yeah, it is. It is very aggressive, you know. So it translates to the way they drive as well. And so to me, it's a culture shock, you know. And because I try to go there, I don't feel like a tourist, you know. You feel more like, hey, you know, I was born and raised here.
Right.
So yeah. I kind of feel like it's home, but you know what? It's not. It's mm-hmm. not home for me anymore. I feel like a stranger, you know. Here's where I feel at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so it's like the whole time I'm there, my neck, my shoulders are all stiff just because I'm so tense all the time, you know. So then, but then they have like a, like the mentality of sitting in cafes and, you know, during the day and mm-hmm. just enjoying the fun. So that's what I would do, you know. I mean, you ask yourself, when are all these people working, you know? Because
yeah.
they're all out here sitting in the sun.
It's like L.A.
Yeah. I know. People don't work. You know?
Oh, man.
They just sit at a cafe all day. And I'm like, well, I'm good with that. I'm on vacation.
Right.
You know, so that was good. And, you know, it's like people watching. And then you know, you sit there and you realize, yeah, I'm so over this place. You know, I'm like totally American, you know. And but you have to be tolerant and patient with it. You know, you got to go there open-minded. And because I find most tourists really love this place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but just for me, it's like maybe I have like higher expectations of the people or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But and everybody gets involved in your business, you know. Like we went to this like public pool and stuff, which was really cool. And I just made me realize how long I haven't been inside water, you know. Probably like a couple of years or something, I haven't been to a pool.
Oh, wow.
So I like dive in and I'm like, wow, this is weird, you know. But then it's like the best, you know. I was like swimming and in the water and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, but you sit there and I lit a cigarette. And I'm always like really aware of where I am, so I don't bother anybody with the smoke and all
mm-hmm.
that. And everybody smokes in Israel. It seems like everybody does, you know.
Hmm.
So then this man walks up and he's like, you can't smoke here. I'm like, look, there's ashtrays all over the place here. And
yeah.
Mind you, he's not a guy that works there. He's an older man. And so I start having a whole conversation with him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he shows me, he says, yeah, look, you know, this is from the health department and you're not supposed to do this and stuff. I used to be a smoker, and now I'm, like, totally against it. I said, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
But, and we started having an argument. It was pleasant, but still, I was thinking, what business is that of yours, you know, to really call me out on something like this? So, yeah, so that's the aggressiveness, the assertiveness they have. And but I think it's sort of like because I think most of the issues there are because it's too small. You know,
mm-hmm.
So the drivers drive like crazy because there's nowhere to park. There's nowhere to drive. I mean, people block like double park everywhere on
right.
main streets, you know.
Oh, man.
And how are you going to, you know, how are you going to deal with that? So
yeah.
It creates pressure, you know. So I can understand it, but I don't really like that behavior. You know, it's not
mm-hmm.
it's not something that I enjoy. But at any rate, so then one day we went and so we went to Jaffa, which is the oldest city there, and we rented Segways. Have you ever seen a Segway
fun.
Before?
Oh my gosh, I've never done it. I've always wanted to try it. They look so funny.
The Segways are the best. They look funny and you look dorky on them. But all I can tell you is when you are on them, everybody looks at you. And not necessarily like a dork, you know. They're like, oh, wow, look at that. You know,
yeah.
Where can I get that? So I've done Segway in several cities, you know. And it's always a lot of fun because you get to see a lot more than you would just by walking, you know. Because
yeah.
you cover a lot
no,
more
it's
distance.
True, yeah.
And it takes you like 5 minutes to learn it. It's
mm-hmm.
not a big deal. I mean, you can stand on it. And it doesn't fall over, it doesn't move if you just stand on it. And it moves by the movements of your body. You don't really turn a handle or anything. You know, you kind of lean forward, it starts going. You lean back, it stops, slows and stops. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, you lean over to the side, it turns,
That's
you know.
That's too cool.
You can turn on a dime. And, yeah, you can actually, like, ride it next to someone who's walking, and it'll be just fine, you know. It'll go up on steps and curbs and
what?
Everything. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Goes uphill, no problem at all.
Wow.
So you can imagine
That's
it's
fun.
Definitely easier than a bicycle. You know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I always see the mall cops riding around
on those things,
you know, in the mall when they're
But you gotta try. They have some in Santa Monica here. And actually we took like a little tour with a group, whereas here you can just rent it and go by yourself and stuff.
So funny.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, it's so it's funny. You know, you feel like a dork, but once you get over that, it's the most fun ever. You know, and so mm-hmm. we rode along the beach, and the boardwalk and everything, and we got to see some history and stuff also, which was interesting. Because I mean, I grew up there, but there's a lot of history you don't know or
right.
that you forgot about.
Yeah.
So. And that was fun, you know. So at first, we knew there was going to be a few more people in the group. And then these three young girls show up, you know, and my son is all like excited. <and everything. laughs> So they just come, you know, and before we break the ice or anything, they're just kind of like to themselves. And my son is like, you see, they're rude. They don't talk to you, blah, blah, blah. Because he was like feeling, he also had this major culture shock there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to him it's like, I'm not sure I like the people here. I'm like, relax. Look at your family. Look at the friends.
Right.
Look at the people we know. I mean,
yeah.
the warmest people in the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but sure enough, before you knew it, we started talking to them and stuff. One of them was from New York. The other two from Israel.
Oh, okay.
And like friends. And one of them was her aunt, and she looked younger than her.
You know? Oh, my gosh.
They were like 19, 20 years old. So my son hit it off with the English-speaking American from New York.
Uh-huh.
And so I barely got to talk to him on the trip. It's like, you know, I mean, I don't get this age, like around 19, 20. They totally don't see their parents, you know.
No, I know.
It's like you're sort of like a piece of furniture in the background, you know. When they need you, you're there.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, I'll go along with this and stuff. So after that, he got her number, and they went out that night and stuff. So.
Aww.
Yeah. So that was actually I drove to Tel Aviv three times that day. That's 3 hours. That's 1 hour each time.
Oh my.
Each round trip. So yeah, 3 hours just driving back and forth to take him and pick him up and all this shit. And I'm like, well, you know what? The trip is about him. You know, I joined him there because he's on the trip, so I'm gonna join him and just do whatever he wants. You know, give him money, go do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was excited to go out with her, and then he comes back. It's like, nah, it wasn't a big deal. I'm not sure we're into each other. So then he had to give her an excuse for not going out the next evening and stuff, you know, because he lost his interest in her.
So
that was funny. And I told him, I said, I can't believe it. I mean, you wanted to hook up with someone here. You finally met somebody. You know, what's the matter, you know? But what do I know?
Oh,
what
gosh.
Do I know?
Boys are funny. Who knows?
They are funny, you know? I mean, it's like a total preoccupation. It's like you go on the hunt
mm-hmm.
when you leave the house, you know? You're constantly like, wow, you know, who can I pick up next? You know, it's like, look at that girl. Look at this girl. I'm like, okay, well, are you enjoying the scenery at all? You know, I mean, are you enjoying the places you go into? And it seemed like that was just secondary for him.
Yeah, it's so, typical at that age, or
yeah.
really any age for the male species, I'm gonna add.
I guess you're right. You
know? I mean,
it just depends on how you go about it.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, I got to just to make a correction. My mother texts me. She's like, Lake Geneva is glacier made, not man made. I'm like,
oh, really?
Okay, never mind. It's glacier made. I don't know why I thought it was.
No, that's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. Totally not man made. I think I'm thinking of, because there's other lakes that are like that we pass on the way there, and there's other, you know, lakes that, you know, we visit in the area and stuff, and I must have just been getting it confused with one of the other,
okay,
of the other
well,
lakes. But
definitely
yeah,
don't listen to the show for information.
Glacier made.
If we want to give you accurate information, we'll tell you guys, but
yeah.
Otherwise.
Unless it's sports. My sports information is usually accurate, but aside from that, don't take my word for it.
Well, maybe the sports coming from you. For me, it would be pretty inaccurate, too.
Yeah, that's a good thing about having my phone right next to me here. When it lights up, I can always look and be like, oh, my mom's correcting me on something.
Yeah. So she listens to every show, your mom?
Yeah. When she's at work, I guess she said... You know, she's like, oh, I have, like, you know, like the earbuds. So she's like, I'll put in one, and then I'll be, you know, working with the other. But if a customer walks in or I have to help somebody book a trip or whatever, she's like, then I, you know, pause it, take it out, do what I have to do. But, yeah, one thing about my mom, she is the most amazing multitasker ever.
Really?
She can do a million things at once. It's amazing. So, yeah, she could totally, like, you know, listen to the show and, you know, concentrate on a bunch of other things. She's definitely one of those, like, super moms. Like,
sounds good. What's
amazing.
What's her name? What's her first name?
Vera.
Vera. Okay,
V-E-R-A.
Well, Vera, you got to call into the show. You can't just listen.
Yeah.
We'll have to call her sometime.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking next time she comes to town, we should have her in here.
Yeah, that's true. Huh?
She's got a lot to say about a lot of things. She's a very fascinating human being. So
good. We'll look forward to that. You know,
hear her opinions.
Yeah. In the meantime, she just feeds you information by text. Huh?
Yep. Pretty much. For the most part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she's great. She's my best friend.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good thing. You know.
Yeah, we're super close.
Yeah. I know I'm friends with my kids, and sometimes I wonder if it's a good thing, you know, because sometimes they just try to get away with murder. But yeah, it's like I don't know how else to be with my kids. We've always been like friends.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, and that's great.
Yeah. Sometimes they say, you know, you shouldn't be your kid's friend. You should be their parent, you know. And but I think you can be both at the same time.
Up to like a certain age.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the friend thing didn't really start happening until, you know, I got a little bit older, like around like high school time, because I was, you know, becoming a young adult, and it was just, I don't know, things changed a lot with that. And I didn't have any, you know, female friends growing up. So my mom was that female friend, like, you know, all the guys would be like, oh my God, she's such a MILF, you know, because like she looked like me. We'd go shopping and we'd be at the checkout and the lady's like, oh, I'm sorry, you want two of these? Like we would end up grabbing the same shirt.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Like we shared like clothes, shoes, and we were the same size with everything.
Wow, that's amazing.
And she was by far like the bestest friend ever.
Wow.
You know, she always looked so good. We'd go out and, you know, go to the movies and hang out, and it was, yeah, she was like, you know, having a you know, a female friend, which is, you know, something that was hard to come
good.
By
yeah,
in my childhood. So
yeah, I'm sure you cherish that, you know, so because so many people do not have great relationships with their parents, you know, and I happen to have a great relationship with my parents. I always have. And in our family, there's never any like infighting or things like that. You know, we just like get along. We're easygoing and stuff. So it was cool seeing them. You know, they're getting older and stuff. My dad's 80. My mom is like 73.
Uh-huh.
And but they still function. You know, I mean, they're active, which is cool. And
that's great.
So, excuse me, I'm about to burp here. But
let it out, Sam.
Yeah, it's
let
not
it
coming out. And so we had some good time and stuff. But I really go there just to visit. I you know, to visit family and stuff. I'm not into the trips anymore. Although maybe next time I'll take a couple trips, you know, just to see around. But there wasn't really anything much to show my son because they've seen just about all the major attractions.
Right.
In the country and stuff. So I took him more in the city, and we ate. And It's just amazing, you know. I mean, all the little things, like, you know, you go and have falafel, they don't have napkins, you know, and then you look around and they have like this big roll of paper that you just kind of grab, you know, like they have in the bathroom where you pull out the paper and stuff. So you have to.
That's different.
I know, you know. It's and yeah, you know, I mean, and people touch things with their hands and stuff.
Oh, man.
I know. It's like sometimes it's so backward, but at the same time, sometimes it's just, it's so advanced, you know. I mean, some of the greatest technology is there. Most of the technological products we use were developed there or made, you know, like the Intel chips inside the computers, Windows. A lot of things were developed there as well, and a lot of software, security software that we use and things like that. So a lot is going on there. And then, you know, you go out to the mall and everything is like American brands, you know, or European brands and stuff. So, so you don't even have to know Hebrew. You just go there. Everything's in English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, everybody's got an iPhone, everybody's got, you know, a car, everybody's got this, nice clothes. So, yeah, it's like America. And then, so that's the thing. You come in, it's a big, nice airport and everything. You're tempted to just think, yeah, this is like a little America or something. But mm-hmm. then you go and you realize how different it is and stuff. But I highly recommend to people who have not been to go there, because tourists just love this place.
Yeah, I'd love to go.
Yeah.
For sure. It's definitely on my list.
Yeah, a lot of history, a lot of partying, a lot of sun, you know. The beaches are amazing, you know. The beaches are just like unbelievable.
My parents went. They went before I was born.
Really?
They loved it.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, no, the beaches are nice. But you know what occurred to me is some people still wear Speedo.
No way!
And some people that should not be wearing Speedos. You know, I mean, look, you can see if someone's got like a really muscular body, you know, they're really worked out and everything, well-defined, okay, I can see that, you know. But when you have a belly and and you're overweight and you wear that,
that's charming.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a turnoff. I don't think anybody should be doing that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Ouch. So, so that, you know, that's pretty much, I mean, there's a lot of good, family time, which is not really interesting radio, but it was fun. You know, it was just enjoyable to be with family. Because we don't have a lot of family here. Most of the family are back there.
Right, yeah.
So it's fun to see family and everything. So that was some of that, some of the experience and everything. And in the meantime, a lot of shit's been happening here with the airplane crashing in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? I had another flight ahead of me. And then I hear that, and I'm like, oh, my God, man, don't let me get on the plane. I don't want to get on the plane. And you realize, you know, sometimes it's like the moment you land, it's like you're relieved, you know, finally we're there. And this is like seconds before you touch down. It's like, bam, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you're never safe until you're at the gate.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And that sucks. And then my son came back a day before me, and then he had to so he got to New York. He had a layover in New York.
Oh, okay.
They get on the plane, they sit on it for 2 hours. The flight is postponed, delayed by 2 hours.
Oh, man.
So finally they get on the plane, he says, then they sit on the taxiway for another 2 hours. And then they get him off the plane.
Oh, no.
Cancel the flight completely.
Are you kidding me? Oh, that's the worst. Come on.
And this is like after a 13-hour flight, and you're dying to get home after, you know, 3 weeks of being away, and that shit happens. And we forget that this stuff can and does happen.
Yeah.
So luckily, he met two kids from the trip were also on this flight going back.
Oh, okay.
So, So then they took a cab. So there were no flights. You know, they told them you have to go and come back tomorrow. And they wouldn't provide a hotel for the passengers because the airline said it wasn't our fault. I don't know what exactly was the reason. If it
fault
was,
is it?
That I don't know
no
if
sense.
It was the airport or the weather, whatever was going on.
Oh, okay.
So they had to take a hotel. So the driver goes $50. So they give him $50. He said, my son says it was a 5-minute drive. We totally got taken.
Oh,
so
man.
Here he's like. He's like really like disillusioned with all these cab drivers in New York and Tel Aviv.
Oh,
and you know, yeah. So they took a hotel and then, you know, the next day they just flew in and it was fine. But I was just like feeling so bad for him and, you know, and luckily he had some cash left on him and stuff. So that worked out. But otherwise it's like, man, I hate flying. You know, it's just not fun anymore. You know, I mean, my flight back was like delayed by an hour, and then we sat on the runway for another about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And because planes were coming down nonstop, and I'm like, look, and I could see it from the window, and you're like, okay, let's hope this is the last plane landing so we can take off. Mm-hmm. Then you see more lights coming right behind it, and more lights, and more lights. It must have been like that for 45 minutes
till
we were finally allowed to take off.
Nightmare.
I know. So like flying is not fun anymore.
Yeah.
You know. Luckily,
and even,
I met some nice
people.
You get
in early though. That's the thing. You get in early, and they're like, "Oh, yay, great! We got here so early that the other plane is still at our gate. They haven't pushed off yet." And then you're like, "Oh, great! Now we have to sit on the plane for another half hour, 40 minutes, whatever." Ugh.
I know, and. So then on my layover, I wanted to drink some booze or something, but it was 6:30 in the morning, and in Philadelphia, they don't start serving till 7 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So I had lunch, but I sure could have used a drink at that point.
Oh, I bet. Man,
yeah.
That's rough.
It is rough, let me tell you, you know.
I hate those layovers.
Yeah.
You know.
So I try not to do them, but, you know, I mean, I saved like $600 just by, you know, stopping... You know, just with a layover for an hour or so, an hour and a half. So it wasn't that bad at all. But yeah, I'm back home. You know, the jet lag is killing me because over there I didn't really sleep that much, you know. So I would like one night I went to sleep. I finally went to sleep like early, like at 10:30, right?
Mm-hmm.
Woke up with nightmares at 3:00 in the morning.
Oh, man.
Like now I can't sleep anymore. And plus during the night there, you guys were awake here, so I was able to communicate and stuff.
Right.
And then during the day, I was just like energetic. I was doing things and stuff, so I didn't really, I wasn't sleeping during the day either, so I didn't really get that much sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like trying to catch up, and it's like, oh my God, like right now I'm so freaking sleepy, I can't even tell you.
Oh,
and
man.
Then at 2:00 in the morning, I'm like all energized.
Jet lag screws you up.
It really does, you know. I mean, it's a 10-hour difference for crying out loud, you know.
Yeah.
When we're awake, they sleep, and vice versa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah. So that was it as far as the trip that I can recall right now. There's still so much more I want to talk about, but we're just about out of time. I just wanted to bring up the Zimmerman verdict. We decided we're not going to give any opinions on the show here because it would be crazy. Because what I realized is that it doesn't matter how much you talk to someone who is on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to convince them. It doesn't matter what. You know, everybody's dug in their opinions, and that's it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the divide in this country that this has revealed is really shocking to me. You know, I really thought we've made some progress since we got a black president and everything, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more awareness and... you know, and people are really trying to embrace each other, and this exposes all the the tears we have in the society, and it really concerns me because this became political. I mean, this is about a kid being killed, you know, and
a kid
being dead.
The whole situation is just so unfortunate.
It really is, you know, and at the same time, it's I don't think it's that clear cut, but. But it's become politics, and that's what you get. You get liberals against conservatives, and that's all I'm seeing on Facebook.
Right. You know, and, yeah. And people are just like at each other's throats here. Right. I think this and I think that. And I was like, right. Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. And
you should die because you think this. Like,
yeah.
Wow, like,
I mean,
really
and this guy, like,
stuff.
Yeah, this guy, I just deleted like 100 people that don't agree with me. I'm like, come on, man. You know, I mean, what is this? You know? So, yeah. So it's gotten pretty bad. But at any rate, it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah.
Anyway, the time just flew today, huh?
Yeah,
I can't
it did.
Even believe
it. Oh, my gosh.
It. Yeah.
That.
We've got a lot of great guests lined up and stuff, so I'm really excited about that. You know, we're going to have a full week this week, next week, and probably every week after that. So a lot of people wanting to get on the show, so that's amazing.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's good. I feel, like, really glad to be back. I'm so fortunate to, like, actually feel like I am excited to come back to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
not many people get to say that. So it's nice.
That's
I'm glad
true.
To be back.
Awesome. Well, me too. Thank you guys all for joining us. It's a pleasure again to be with you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.